word is devil destruction power. With my Bible, I can defeat the devil every single day. This is my Bible. My Bible is the word of God. And God's word is the revelation of his will for my life. Whatever it says I am, that's what I am. Whatever it says I can do, I can do it. Whatever it says I have,
I claim it.
In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to hear your word, to teach your word, and to preach your word. Now, Father God, let your people receive revelation of it and walk in it. In Jesus' name, praise God.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 2, verse 14. Yeah. 1 John chapter 2, verse 14. We're going to continue in our series, at least for the next couple of weeks. After that, we're going to be dealing with intercessory prayer, because we need to be a church of intercessors, praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Preaching's good, teaching's good. These are things needed, and these are things called by God to do. Witnessing is good, and we need to be an evangelistic church, praise God.
Amen.
This is one of the foundational truths God called me, when he called me to pastor this church. He told me that we are to establish this thing upon winning souls for him. Praise
Amen.
Jesus. As Pastor Mary said, that is the foundation of love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We've got to tell people about the Son of God who died for them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So this church is going to be an intercessory prayer church. Number one, an evangelistic church, and third, a teaching ministry, praise God.
Amen.
We're going to have, these are going to be our foundational things starting in 2014 if we didn't do that already. But the thing is that you can't do any of that unless you first learn to become word-focused and not problem-focused. See, let me tell you right now, if you start getting caught up and your problems, and not believing God to deal with your problems, or not knowing how to use the authority that God has given you through his word to deal with your problems, you will never intercede for another person. If you do pray, you'll be praying for yourself all the time. God, why am I going through this? God, help me. God, when are you going to get me out of this? You'll never witness anybody else because you'll be too caught up in you. Amen.
Amen.
And if you do try to witness somebody, when they see how you always whine about your problems, what they gonna want with your God?
That's right.
Huh?
Yeah.
Huh? Is somebody gonna want your God? Do you want somebody's God that can't solve your problems?
No.
You want somebody's God that I don't know what I'm gonna do. By the way, you know Jesus. So you got to become word focused. Get into God's word so that you can deal with your issues, and not only deal with your issues, but help somebody else with their issues. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. I always tell my wife, you know, man, you know, we have a little joking thing in our home. You know, when somebody says something goofy or dumb or something, I'll say something like, you know, you need help. I'm praying for you. You got issues. And they'll tell me, and when I do something goofy, they'll say the same thing to me. You know, Dad, you need help. You got issues. I said, I know I got issues, praise God. So I know I got issues, but I know that my Bible teaches me that I can solve every one of these issues. Because number one, first of all, it teaches me where the source of my problems and my issues are at. And that's with Satan. So have you found 1 John chapter 2, verse 14?
Yep.
We've gone over the scripture a number of times. And you know what? We're going to keep going over it until the Lord says otherwise. But 1 John chapter 2, verse 14. One of the things about this verse is every time I study it, I find new stuff. It just amazes me. Every time I think that I'm going to preach this verse until I done wore it out, then God shows me something else in here. But he says in verse 14, I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. And he goes on to say, I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong. Say, ye are strong.
Ye are strong.
Glory to God. And the word of God abideth in you, And ye have overcome the wicked one. Say ye have.
Ye have.
Ye have.
Ye have.
See, two things that this passage says. It says, ye are strong. How many of y'all are waiting to get strong in God? Why are you waiting?
We are strong.
Yeah, thank you. Ye are strong. Say, I am strong.
I am strong.
I have the word of God.
I have the word of God.
In me.
In me.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Once you get the word of God in you, you no longer have to wait to get strong.
Amen.
You no longer have to wait to get strength. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It doesn't say, get strength. It says, be strong. You need to be strong all the time because the wicked one is always coming after you. So you need to stop waiting and coming to me and saying, Pastor, please pray my strength in the Lord. No, get strong.
Amen.
Get the word of God in you. Say, ye are strong.
Yeah.
Say, I am strong.
I am strong.
Now, look at the next part of this. It goes on to say, ye have. Say have.
Have.
That's past tense. Ye have overcome the wicked one.
Amen.
Satan has already been defeated by Jesus Christ through his death, burial, and resurrection. Praise God.
Amen.
Satan is a defeated foe. He is not somebody you need to be afraid of unless you're not living for Christ.
Amen.
Now, if you're not living for Christ, then he can beat you down. But if you got the word of God in you, then the Bible teaches that you have overcome the wicked one, not in and of yourself, but because of what Jesus has done. See, we need to learn to speak the language of faith. Praise God.
Amen.
The language of faith is always present tense. It is not future tense. See, Satan, his biggest trick is to always put everything off for the future. I remember listening to, I don't know how many of y'all have heard of Derek Prince, and we got some of his books in the back. Derek Prince happened to be one of my favorite Bible teachers. But I remember listening to a tape by him in the 80s, and that was the 80s, and so you know how long ago the 80s was.
Right.
So I can't, I may not get it all straight, the story he told me. But I remember he was talking one time about how when he was a college student studying philosophy before he became a Christian. And so they were in Greece and doing some studying in a place called Greece. And so he said that every time they would walk out the doors, there was these guys that was always trying to push them off, trying to have them shine his shoes. And so they didn't know what to do. And then Derek Prince came up with an idea. He said, the next time we go out there, just tell them tomorrow. And so when they would run up to shine their shoes again, they say tomorrow. And the guys would back off and say, okay, tomorrow. The next day, they try to shine their shoes again, look, tomorrow. And so the guys would back off. And they did that every day for a week, and the guys kept backing off. Well, that's what happened. That's what the devil keeps telling you to do. He keeps telling you to put it off for tomorrow. He says, yeah, your victory will be tomorrow. And so that way, if you keep waiting for tomorrow to have the victory in Christ Jesus, he will continue to beat you down today. Praise God.
Amen.
And then the next day, he'll still tell you, oh, you can't have it today, tomorrow. And he'll beat you up again the next day. You have victory now if you begin to learn the language of faith.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 tells us, you don't have to turn there. You can write this down if you're taking notes. It says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 4, verse 16, God talking about Abraham, who was old and was beyond child-producing years, him and his wife. And he said, I have called thee to be a father of many nations. And it goes on to say that God says, speaks those things that be not as though they were. That is the way God talks, and God wants his children to learn to talk his way. Praise God.
Amen.
So regardless of whether I feel strong or not, I must declare that I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
I must declare that I have already overcome, defeated the wicked one because Jesus has defeated him on my behalf. Amen. I am in Christ Jesus. I have been made more than a conqueror. And so therefore, I have overcome the wicked one. Praise God. But I have to make sure that I have this book in me. I've got to study this book. I've got to read this book. I've got to meditate on this book. I've got to memorize its promises and its commands so that when the devil comes at me like he came to Jesus then and tempts me and says things to me, then I can say, hey, the book says.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Yeah. It has been written. Our biggest problem is we don't know what is written. And so when the devil comes to attack us, our response is, oh, God, why me? Amen. So we got to learn to say, we need to learn to replace the, oh God, why me? With, it is written.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Replace the, oh God, why me? With, it is written, devil. Now, look at this word, wicked one. I looked this up in the Greek because I'm not a Greek scholar, so I got to look at somebody else's dictionary. It says that the word wicked one, basically in relation to Satan, and it means bringing, this word wicked means bringing toils, annoyances, perils of a time full of peril to Christian faith and steadfastness, and it means causing pain and trouble. God, and hear me, please listen to me, God is not the source of your pain and your trouble.
He's right.
God is not your problem. I remember I was in a, you know, I like to go, because I'm a big reader, you know, that's where me and Rad, we love to read, so, you know, that's why I say he's definitely my son. Spiritual son, Mom, don't.
Okay, I'm
otherwise. Amen. I said he's definitely my son in the faith because we like to read, you know. But I like to go to some of the old bookstores sometimes, and I see books like with titles like God the Problem, and I'm like, God is not the problem.
That's right.
He's the answer.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. Glory to God. God is not the source of my problems. God is the answer to my situation. Praise God.
Amen.
He's not my problem. He is my problem solver.
Amen.
The Bible says that all the toils, annoyances, perils, and the pain and trouble comes from the wicked one. Comes from Satan. Glory to God.
Amen.
You know, I did a little bit of research. And I looked up a number of things that are in the Bible. You know, I'm putting all these in my book that I'm rewriting, called God's Word, Devil Destruction Power: How to Overcome Satan Using God's Word. We're rewriting that book, and we're going to publish it hopefully sometime this year. But you know, when it talks about evil and problems, the Bible refers to sickness and disease as evil and problems, praise God. It talks about problems as financial distress, accidents, marriage, natural disasters, all the criminal acts to include murder, that comes from Satan, not God. Persecution of God's people, blinding people to the truth about God and salvation, that's from Satan. Hindering answers to prayer, read Daniel, Satan's the one. You know, if you feel like your prayers aren't being answered, don't get mad at God. Find out where the source of the problem is. Satan's the one who likes to hinder prayer. Enticing people to sin and keeping them in bondage to it, that's not God. Amen. Exercising a negative influence on this world's political systems, that's not God. God's not the one bringing out laws for people to get to legalize abortion. God's not the one legalizing gay marriage. That's not God. All of these come from the wicked one. He's the one influencing our political system. Praise God.
Amen.
God's not the one who's telling the little old nuns in the Catholic Church that they've got to give out abortion pills against their faith. That's a law that's been established by our government that they're fighting against, but that didn't come from God. That came from the devil. The devil is the one who's the murderer. He's the one who hates life.
Right.
He's the one who's trying to kill, steal, and destroy. Praise God. And so, if we begin to stop looking at God as the source of our problems, then we can become more word focused and become more confident when we do face issues and we do face problems, and we can stand against the devil using the word of God, just like Jesus did. Praise God.
Amen.
Glory to God. And so we got to understand in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, you don't have to turn there. You can write this down. It talks about how anybody who sins is of the devil, praise God. But it talks about how, it goes on to say how Jesus was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Jesus was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. He destroyed the works of the devil for you and me. And so we've got to learn to speak the language of faith. When the works of the devil are confronted against us, we need to say, hey, that's already been destroyed in my life. Praise God. We need to learn to speak what God has said, has he's done for us. Now, we don't, this is so well illustrated in the Old Testament in so many places, but I've chosen to deal primarily with Gideon, with the example from Gideon in the book of Judges. Turn with me to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. That's right after the book of Joshua. And let me give you some background for those of you who don't really read a lot of the Old Testament. Although I recommend that you do. But if you're starting out reading the Bible, start with the New Testament always first. I always tell people to start with reading the book of St. John. Read that all the way through. Then read the rest of the gospel so you can get to know who Jesus is and why did he come. What was his mission? What did he do? Then read through all the rest of the New Testament. Read especially Paul's epistles so that you can get understanding and revelation, further revelation of what Jesus accomplished through his death, burial, and resurrection. That's a lot of what Paul expounds upon in his epistles. Read all the way through the New Testament so that you can understand Jesus Christ. Then read the Old Testament and you begin to see Jesus in the Old Testament. Praise God. Amen. But the book of Judges, it deals with a situation that happened after Israel came out of Egypt, and then they went into the promised land and were led by Joshua to conquer a good portion of the promised land. But as soon as Joshua died, Israel forsook God, turned away from God, and began to worship the false gods of the nations that surrounded them. And so, how many of y'all know that you're going to continue to tell somebody, I don't need you, I don't want you anymore? How many of y'all know that they're going to sooner or later back away? Mm. How many of y'all who are married can go around and mess around with another man or another woman and think your husband's going to tolerate it too, or your wife's going to put up with it so long and still say, oh, it's okay. You know, I know some wives do that. Well, you know, them men, they just can't keep it zipped. No, he better learn, or you better leave him, one of the two. too many of, most men and most women ain't going to put up with their spouse messing around too much longer. Well, that's the same thing with God. You can't expect for God to stick it out with you while you ignore him, or you tell him, I don't love you, I could care less about you, and I'm going to worship this idol. Praise God.
Amen.
And that's what was happening in Israel during the time of the judges. And so then what would happen? God would step away. He'd say, okay, y'all don't want me? Bye. And he'd step away, but God being merciful, he'd still stick around and watch. And then they would get beat up by their enemies surrounding them. And then when they're getting beat up and they're seeing that false gods can't help them, then they call on Yahweh. And Yahweh, being the merciful God that he is, steps right back in raises up a judge, and the judge goes in and gives them victory. Soon as the judge dies, they go right back into their sin. Well, when we get to Judges chapter 6, they have done this so many times, God is just about fed up. He told them, you know what? Let's call on these gods that you keep worshiping. Let them help you. And so they start whining and crying. And so then we get to Judges chapter 6, and God finally, his heart is grieved because he's so full of love and so caring, just like we are with our own children when they mess up and act stupid. And so he comes back and he says, and listen, if anybody appears to be a failure in raising children, it will be God. Because his children were always backslide. You hear me? His children still backslide. So when we find some brothers and sisters, you know, that have done the best they can to raise their child, and their child is still out there doing drugs and prostituting themselves and stuff like that, don't blame the parents. Amen?
Amen.
The parents, if the parents did everything they could to put the Bible into that child, it is no longer their fault once the child is at an age where they can do right from wrong. Praise God. Amen. You know, just like my daughter here, I can't beat her. She now has to make choices for herself. Praise God. Amen. I thank God that she's made good choices. But then again, I beat her behind so much when she was young. It stuck with her, praise God. Hallelujah. Now, I don't recommend that you beat your kids. You know, spank them. All right. Let that be the last resort. But anyway, don't let it be the first resort. Let it be the last one. All right. But anyway, we get to Judges chapter 6. And since I've already given you some background, let's go to verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Now, two things I want to point out in this passage, because there's always a lot I could dig into, but I don't want to get into everything. The angel of the Lord, whenever you read the phrase angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, always remember it's Jesus. Jesus, he is God. Praise God. He's the second member of the Godhead. But quite often in the Old Testament, he manifested himself as the angel of the Lord. In other words, not an angel, not a regular created angel, but the angel of the Lord was God's messenger. Praise God. It's what theologians call a theophany. If you like to hear those big words, it just makes me look smart, you know, but I read it somewhere. But the angel of the Lord is just saying that this was Jesus himself appearing unto Gideon. And so the angel of the Lord and sat under an oak tree which was in Ophrah that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Now, the second thing I want to point out here, which is most important, is that Gideon was scared. Gideon was acting like a coward, praise God. He wasn't standing against the Midianites. He was scared and he was hiding his stuff from the Midianites. But then we get to verse 12 and it says, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now, was Gideon acting like a mighty man of valor?
No.
Was he acting like a mighty man of valor, y'all?
No.
He was acting like a stone cold coward. But yet, the Lord, Jesus, came to him and said, you are a mighty man of valor. Ain't that something? God sees you as something you may not always see yourself, praise God.
Amen.
God sees you as already an overcomer. God sees you as already victorious. God sees you as dead to sin and alive unto him. God sees you as seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
God sees you as sanctified. God sees you as healed. God sees you as more than a conqueror, praise God.
Amen.
God sees you that way. You've got to learn to see yourself that way, praise God.
Amen.
You've got to learn to look in the Bible and find out what the Bible says about you. God says that you are the apple of his eye.
Amen.
God says You are under the shadow of his wings. It doesn't matter how you feel. Faith is not based on emotion.
Amen.
Faith is not based on sight. Faith is not based on circumstances. My circumstances may go contrary to what God says, but when I continue to declare what God says through the language of faith, through the word of God, then my circumstances must line up with this book, praise Jesus.
Amen.
As I always say, there is circumstantial truth, and then there is God's truth. If circumstantial truth contradicts God's truth, then circumstantial truth must bow to the authority of God's truth, praise God. God's truth will change circumstantial truth all the time. But we got to learn to get into his word, find out what it says, and begin to declare it by faith in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Now we go on down to verse 15, and he says, and he said unto him, let's go to 13 because it talks about y'all here. Verse 13 is talking about y'all. And Gideon said unto him, oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? In other words, Gideon is saying, why me, God? Why me? Why is this happening to us, Lord? God just told me he's a mighty man of valor. Instead of going with the word of God, Gideon is complaining. And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Now listen to this. Gideon is complaining about God. Israel was the one who forsook God. God didn't leave Israel. Israel left God. Israel said, we don't want you no more. We're going to worship these other gods. We're going to worship these idols. They just told God, get out of our face. We don't want nothing to do with you. Read Psalm 81 and they'll explain it to you more. That's the way Israel acted. But yet Gideon is complaining. See, we need to learn to stop complaining and learn to find out where we cause the problems, praise God.
Amen.
We need to learn to look and then resolve the issue, repent of our sins, and then get right with God, and then begin speaking the language of faith, praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
For example, if I'm eating donuts three times a day, then why am I going to get mad at God for me having diabetes? Ain't that stupid? I'm chunking on them Dunkin' Donuts all day long, and then I'm going to get mad because I got diabetes. That ain't God's fault. Praise God. That's yours. Go on a diet. A diet one. All right. But praise God, we need to stop going with this, oh God, why, and say, oh God, thank you for your word.
Amen.
Now look at God. God is such a kind God. He doesn't get mad at Gideon or rebuke him. He goes on to remind Gideon of his position. He says, and the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might. He tells Gideon, you have might. God is telling you, you have strength, praise God.
Amen.
You are to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He tells Gideon, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Now, I know my time is getting short, but I want to show y'all this a couple of things, and we'll close out and go back to this next week. But look at this. We looked at verses 12 and verse 14. Verse 12, God speaks to Gideon and says, thou art a mighty man of valor. In verse 14, he says, in this thy might. He's present tense realities. He's telling Gideon, you are already a mighty man of valor. He's telling Gideon, you already have might, strength, power, valor already belongs to you, Gideon, praise God.
Amen.
God put this story in the Bible so that you can understand it, so that you can learn to speak the language of faith, praise God.
Amen.
Ain't you glad that God didn't put all your stuff in the Bible for everybody else to read? I'm telling you.
I'd be embarrassed. But anyway, Gideon, thank God for the stories like Gideon where I can begin to understand how to walk by faith in the Word of God. See, the Bible says that ye are strong. Ye have overcome. You are already mighty men and women of valor, praise God. Now I want you to see verse 14 in a more literal translation. Let me read verse 14 to you again from the King James Version. And this is the way it is in most translations, most English translations. I checked out a whole lot of them. You can do that online now. You can go to www.biblegateway.com. Yeah, thank you, Git. I'm calling Git Radimus. But you can go to biblegateway.com and you can check out a bunch of translations. Or you can even download eSword. Man, I'm telling you, this electronic age with computers and internet, you got access to stuff that I didn't have back in the 80s and early 90s, praise God. Now you can get all this stuff. I remember I used to take that big, I still got that big strong concordance from what I bought back in 1984, 85. That thing, whenever I need to look up pastor's scripture, I had to get this big giant concordance and open it up and find stuff. Now I can just go to my computer and just type in a word and I can find every word in the Bible. So much easier now. So much easier. Praise God. Amen. But anyway, in verse 14, it goes on to say, and the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Now, this is talking, the King James Version, as well as most English translations, put this in the future tense. He's telling Gideon, you will save them. You're going to save them tomorrow. But I like the literal translations. I got two literal translations that come directly from the Hebrew language in which this was written, and it says it this way. In a concordant literal translation, it says, and Yahweh turns unto him and says, go in this, your power, and you have saved Israel out of the hand of the Midian. Have not I sent you? God doesn't say you shall save Israel. He says you have saved Israel. Before Gideon even enters into the battle, God says you already have the victory, praise God.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Look at the Young's literal translation. It says, and Jehovah turneth unto him and saith, go in this thy power, and thou hast saved Israel out of the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you? Now that word saved, we got to stop thinking, you know, us Christians, we got to stop thinking about words in the way that some of the theologians have put it to us. We've so limited the word saved to, I'm going to go to heaven when I die. Mm. Saved is so much more than that. Mm. Salvation is so much more than just going to, thank God I'm going to heaven when I die.
Amen.
I don't want to go down there. I'm telling you, we've seen the videos, we see how horrible it is. I don't want to go there. I'm telling you, glory to God. The blood of Jesus has saved me from that.
Amen.
Amen. But I'm so glad that I don't have to just hold on until I die and make it in. I can walk in victory right now, praise God.
Amen.
I can have all the blessings that God wants me to have right now.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. So the Hebrew word saved means to be saved in battle, to be victorious.
Amen.
To save, deliver, to save from all troubles, to give victory to. So God is telling Gideon, he says, I've already given you the victory.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
Now, praise God.
Amen.
It's already you. Before you even face the Midianites, I've already defeated them for you. You go in this power and you just do my mop-up. Praise God.
Amen.
That's what God is calling you to do. He's already beaten the devil. He's already defeated him. He's already conquered him. He's already put him under your feet. You just do the mop-up job. Praise God.
Amen.
All the devil's going to bring, he's going to bring his dirt. He's going to dirt in your floor.
Oh, yes.
Oh, but what you need to do is say, hey, it's time for me to clean up. Let me take the word of God and the blood of Jesus and the cleansing power and clean you up.
Amen.
Get you out of here, praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I tell you, see, God, let me just share this with you very quickly. We're going to close out. But I told you I had to go to a conference this weekend, you know, Friday and Saturday. They have it today too, but I decided that it's more important for me to be with y'all today, praise God. More important for me to be with the church that I pastor. But the conference costed a certain amount of money for me to attend. And when they sent me the letter with the tickets and stuff, and I told my wife I need a check for yay amount of money. She said, "Honey, we ain't got the money." And so, you know, I because I'm preaching all this faith stuff, I can't go and call the bishop up and say I ain't got the money. Praise God. So I said, "Well, God," I said, "you know, you want me to go to the conference, you know, give me the money." And you know what God spoke to me? He said, "You have a check in the mail." Now, you know, when God says stuff like that, I'm thinking, okay, maybe it'll come tomorrow, maybe it'll come next week. But he said, "You have a check in the mail." So I went outside, opened the mailbox, went through some letters, saw one from my insurance company, thinking they're going to ask me for money. I opened it up. It was a refund check.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Amen.
That's the way God speaks. That's the language of faith. I said, "Man, you're something else, God."
Amen.
I said, "Well, I ain't got no excuse now. I got to go to this conference." So I gave my wife the check, told her to put it in the bank and write me out a check so I can go to this conference. Praise God.
Amen.
But see, this is the way your Father works for you.
Amen.
He won't do it for me just because I'm pastor and all this other stuff. He does it for me because I'm his child first. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
You are a child of God. And that means that you are on the winning side. And I'm going to tell you this very quickly. My cousins, you know, they were some tough, rumble tough people, boys. And, you know, I go down to Washington, D.C., I wouldn't be scared of the enemy across the street because I knew I already had my cousins to take my back. Praise God. You mess with me, they'll get you. Well, I'm in the family of God.
Amen. Yes.
What am I going to be scared of the devil for?
Amen.
You want to mess with me, devil? My big brother already whooped you.
That's right.
He already whooped you.
Yes.
You want another one?
Yes.
Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. Stand to your feet. Praise God. Before I want, y'all going to tempt me to preach some more.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Bow your head. Close your eyes. Man, I'm tempted to go and preach some more, preach a little
Amen.
Bit more, but I'm going to stop. I'm going to discipline myself. Praise God.
Amen.
But just bow your head for a moment. Hallelujah. Let's go to God and just begin to thank him for his word. Thank him. Begin to think about all the problems and issues you're dealing with right now. And then begin to thank him for giving you victory. Thank him for giving you deliverance. Thank him for breaking you free from every attack that the enemy is trying to bring against you right now in the name of Jesus. Take the name of Jesus and declare it and say, "I am more than a conqueror." Hallelujah. Tell the devil, "I have been delivered from your hands already."
Amen.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Yes.
Who has been redeemed from the hand of the enemy.
Yes.
Oh, Father, we thank you. Say that you are already in the city of refuge.
Amen.
And you're already under God's protection.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
Satan, he can try to knock on the door, but you don't have to open the fortress.
Amen.
Praise God.
Praise
God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah,
Jesus.
Glory to your
Glory
name, Father.
To your name.
The Bible says we've already been given authority over him.
Yes, Lord.
It doesn't say you're going to have authority. It says I've given unto you authority. Begin to trample upon that serpent. Begin to trample upon that scorpion. Trample upon every problem, every issue Satan's trying to bring your way. In the name of Jesus. Speak to that sickness in your body and command it to go in the name of
Jesus.
Speak to the air and that child of yours that's under bondage to sin. Begin to speak against the evil spirit that's bringing you, that's got your child under sin. And say, "I declare that for me and my house, we will serve the Lord."
Amen.
Begin to speak right now in the name of Jesus that every one of your children will be saved and come into a knowledge of the truth. That they are saved. That they are delivered. That they are set free from every bondage in Jesus' name. Father, I declare that for my son, TJ, in the name of Jesus. I declare that he's set free. I declare that as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord in the name of Jesus. I declare that for Mimi in Jesus' name. I declare that she is saved, that she is delivered, that she is set free. I declare that for all of my spiritual children as well. For Raniel, I declare for him in the name of Jesus. I declare for every last one of them in Jesus' name. Glory to God. For Mom Boo, for Tucker, in the name of Jesus. I declare that they are set free in the name of Jesus. Praise God. In the name of Jesus. Declare that problem that you're having on the job that you are free from it in Jesus' name. That overbearing boss, that thank God for the love of God winning that boss to you in Jesus' name. Begin to declare it right now. Declare that financial issue. Declare that you are debt free in the name of Jesus. Say that you are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath in the name of Jesus. Declare that God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Declare it. Declare it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
What is so hard in your life that God cannot do for you? What is so hard in your life that God cannot do? What is so hard? What is so hard in your life that God cannot do for you? What is so hard in your life that God cannot do? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise your name, Jesus. Does anybody need special prayer for anything? Lift your hand up. Need special prayer for anything? I see that hand. Anyone else? I see those hands. All of you who've lifted up your hands, come on up. In your life that God cannot do, what is so hard in your life